Get out the insurance cards, get out the copays. The office is open, my friends. Brought to you by DrRoto.com.
Good morning, my friends. It is In the Cup, brought to you by DrRoto.com. It is I, Johnny Danger, with my friend Adam White. We are here to talk Valero Texas Open. We've got a preview to the Masters at the very end. We're ready. Golf is in full swing. Adam, how are you today, buddy?
I'm doing fantastic today. The sun is shining, as you can probably see reflecting off of my body. Back with my friend Danger after a week off. I know you're refreshed after vacay.
That's right.
Birds chirping. You know, spring has sprung. Feeling pretty good, man. I got at the golf course the other day. I have nothing to complain about.
I love it, man. I was down Hilton Head for a week. They were putting up grandstands all over the island. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, they got the RBC coming up in a couple weeks.
Yes, they do. I was on top of the lighthouse that they panned to all week long with the big RBC logo. I took some pictures. It was beautiful.
Okay. That's awesome. I thought you meant when you said on top of the lighthouse all week long, I thought that's where you stayed with your fam. I was like, geez.
That'd be pretty cool. They got a gift shop. There's some like Lay's potato chips and some Red Bulls in there. I'd have been all right.
Okay. You would have made it a few days at least.
I'd have survived. Right. All right, buddy. Well, let's get right into it. Give me a course breakdown of our first trip to Texas.
So we are at the TPC San Antonio. Just the type of field we like. Full field, top 65 and ties make it through the cut. We are in San Antonio, as mentioned. It's the TPC course called the Oaks course. Typically rates around 15th or so as far as most difficult on tour. It's just over 7,400 yards. We've got four par fives, four par threes this week. Par fives are actually particularly difficult relative to most on tour, so par five scoring wouldn't be as important as you think. Only three water hazards here, so when you think TPC like Sawgrass, it's not surrounded by a bunch of water hazards. However, the fairways are a little bit narrow, so under 30 yards in width. The number of fairways hit percentage last few years is well below tour average, as is the greens and reg percentage, because they are a little bit smaller, and because you're hitting from that thick, gnarly rough, difficult to hold these greens. We look at a few different pretty important stat categories here. Because the greens are harder to hit, you're going to look at around the greens as far as the short game goes. Off the tee, you want guys who are accurate or at least creating good good drive percentage. Winning score, as we said, is not super low. So we're looking for guys who can make some birdies, especially for me this week on par fours. And of course, we're always looking at the approach game. You want to get into the top range.
I will. Before that, I will mention that our friend Alicia Hunt has taken a sabbatical from content creation. So my good buddy Adam right here is going to start writing the full breakdown over at DrRoto.com behind the paywall. So this is a great preview. We're going to touch on a lot of players, but if you want Adam's in-depth thoughts on his favorite, I don't know, what'd you do, like 7 to 10 guys, head over to DrRoto.com, subscribe, and check out his article. All right, man, let's get into this. We got four guys, 10K and up, all carrying pretty heavy ownership. And I'm going to be honest, I don't know that I'm really into any of them this week for my one single powerhouse lineup.
Yeah, I mean, I would have to say it's a mistake, to be honest with you. I think the top three guys are so clearly better than anybody else in the field right now. Coming into this week, that's a pretty risky proposition for me. However, I am all on board with the Rory Fay. Just his approach numbers, his typical strengths that complement his off-the-tee game, I'm not a big fan of. But I think this is a perfect golf course, despite the fact that he hasn't played it, for Mr. Ludvig Åberg. He's great off the tee. He's one of the most accurate drivers out there, despite being also one of the top 10 longest. His iron game is very good. He's good around the greens, and he's got Texas ties. He played at Texas Tech in college. So he, to me, is like number one with a bullet up here in the top range. What don't you like about Matsuyama, Åberg, in this top 10K range here?
It's not that I don't like him. I think you're correct. But I have found so far, at least this year, that picking the winner has not been that important to making money, especially when it's been Scheffler at 12K and above. It's just difficult to make sure you round out your lineup when you go heavy at the top. I have been pretty darn successful this year fading that top range. If I'm going to play any of them, it's Ludvig And in fact, I've only created one lineup just for fun to put in a 20 max dollar single entry for poops and giggles. And I did start with Ludwig Aubert. So I'm double speaking a bit. But when I do a single lineup, I need value everywhere. And I don't know that I like anybody in the 6K range enough to load up at the top. So I'll probably start in the 9K range. So if I play any of them, it's Ludwig. I don't care that he's got, 30% ownership. It's still a bargain in dollars and ownership when you compare to what Rory's going to go for.
Yeah, I get you. I can already tell we're going to have some pretty big differences in our approach to this week, which makes it fun. So we'll talk through some of those here in a bit.
Certainly does. So we'll get down to the 9K range where I have my two favorite players of the week in Jordan Spieth and Corey Connors. I know they're going to garner some ownership, but I just love starting that lineup in the 9K range instead of the 10 or up.
Yeah, so Spieth is the guy that I wasn't on. Obviously, Corey Connors has great course history. He's won here. He's got his only tour wins here, both of them, including last year. So Spieth was a guy that I wasn't on. He's been so shaky off the tee, and his approach game hasn't been great. He's just had a bad string of tournaments. But trying to get into the Masters, and I was also looking at some top 20 bets, he was the third most likely to top 20 as far as Vegas is concerned, right behind Oberg and McIlroy, right there with Matsuyama, which is giving him a lot of respect relative to what DraftKings did with his pricing. So he is a guy that I'm but a lot of people are. He's looking at 20%+ owned. So, I can't fault you for wanting to go there, but you are definitely rostering the two highest owned players in the 9K range. So if you like those guys, you just got to know that you're going to be swallowed.
Yeah, I hear you, but also, at roughly 20% owned, that's significantly less than over 30% owned that we're going to see Aubert and McIlroy.
You think McIlroy is going to be that high?
I do. Absolutely. Okay.
I have him at just about 20, right where those other two guys are. Aubert I have as the highest owned in the field, but I think with good reason.
Yeah, I'm feeling Rory hits 30.
A guy that you've been on that really had a rough Players Championship is Max Homa. I think after a couple weeks off, he kind of skipped those two final events of the Florida Swing. I think it gives him a chance to sort of refocus, gear up for the majors here. And I think it offers a pretty good pivot there at 14% owned that I'm projecting at 9,900. If you wanted to start with Matsuyama and Homa, Oberg and Homa, I think you're going to differentiate enough that you're not swallowing this high ownership up top like you would if you went, say, Rory and Spieth, Rory and Connors, Oberg and Connors. That's a tough way to start off your lineup. You're going to have a couple of very high finishes from those two guys if you go with like 50% on the top two.
Yeah, that could be true, but I'm more likely to be a guy that starts Spieth and Benny Ahn at 9K flat. I love Benny Ahn. I love the South Korean hitters this week. There's a lot in the field, and I'm not lying, man. I like all four of them. So,
yeah, I would argue that four is not a lot relative to a normal week on
TV. Well, I mean, four that I like, though. I like all four.
Having four that you like, that would be a lot. I don't mind him. It's his approach game was absolutely atrocious at the Players, and it's a different course. He's normally at least gaining some on approach, at least half the time. But he's just not a guy who has the around the green game that gets me excited. I don't think he has much of a track record in Texas, so. Benny Ahn, I'm gonna let the others play this week. There is at least one guy I like in the 8K range quite a bit.
Yeah, let's talk about that 8K range. So we have a extreme ownership pull in the 8K range in Alex Noren, and then also Billy Horschel. Kind of two very different players. Why are people on these two guys?
Noren's had three consecutive very good finishes. I think he's been top 10 three in a row. Top 23 in a row. His stat trends look good. Just for me, at his price point, I know he's been playing some good golf, but I can't pay $8,700 for him. My first instinct on, and especially at 20% ownership, like he's going to have to top five to pay that off. And Horschel, if my first look, like I like to think about what's my first reaction, because that's probably a normal reaction for most people. Looking at Horschel at $8,900, I'm like, geez, he is priced way up. I've been seeing him in the 7K range. Then you dig into his stats a little bit. He gained in all four stat categories, putting, around the greens, off the tee, and approach, two straight weeks. And that's not easy to do on tour. Now, these weren't like super elite fields, but that's still very, very impressive. So when a player doesn't have to lean on one aspect of their game or two aspects of their game, where like if that falls short, they're kind of screwed that day. I really like that about him. He's been playing some very, very complete golf. Went through a swing change throughout most of last year, so he struggled. But it looks like things are really starting to click for him. So Horschel is a guy that I kind of changed my mind on a little bit since my first look. The other guy like a lot in the 8K range.
Tell me about Russell Henley. He pops in my model, and he's down like below 10% owned. And those are two things that I generally cling on to when I see a mid-range value play popping in the stats, but also way down in ownership comparatively to the players around him.
Did you know that's where I was going? We didn't even talk about this.
No.
Unless you like read through the entire
article. I read your article only through the course breakdown because I don't want to be influenced by your crap. I want to make my own decisions.
My crap has influenced you to mostly profitable weeks this year. But
this is true. This is
true. I like Russ a lot. I think with him coming off of a rough start, everybody was on him with the players. He had a trend where everybody liked him. I love getting on guys when people hop off, especially when there's no good reason to. Like one bad finish is an aberration. Before that, he was gaining strokes in just about every category, a T4, a T41, T24, a T4 before that where he gained strokes at Sony. Now, I don't think it's a course where you have to be a bomber to take advantage of these par fives. It's more going to be wedge game. The average score on these par fives is 4.9 over the last few years. So you're not seeing guys that are out there just hitting the greens, having eagle chances, and making a lot of birdies. So I think it sets up really well because he plays the par fours very well. And if he's going to be one of the lowest, even three or four guys in this range, I absolutely love him. So Henley's my favorite play to kind of round out here in the mid range after taking my top two guys up there in the 10K or 9K.
I like that a lot. So getting down into the 7K, you know, there's a couple of players that peek out here. First of all, pat myself on the back a little bit for my value play of the week 2 weeks ago last week. I know we didn't do a show, but I was high on Lucas Glover last week. I think he finished tied for 10th or 11th. He's down there at 73, looking pretty good in the model. But then I've got an interesting one here. You know, I love Eric Cole. He's done me well this year every time I've played him. I really like him at 7,600. He pops up nicely. His leverage score and value meter is really nice for me. But it's very interesting. Oh, lost you for a second there. Now you're back. It's very interesting. At $200 more, projected with a higher score, but the leverage score is awful. The ownership is awful. Why is Aaron Rye popping so far up in ownership when you've got guys like Cole and Glover and, you know, just better names in that price range?
Yeah, I'd say recency bias. T7 last week, caught the week before at the Valspar, but then had a pretty good string of, you know, three straight top 35s at least. And his stats kind of make you feel a little comfy, like he's decent. He's average to slightly above average all the way across the board. But Rye is definitely a guy, if he's going to be priced up in a tournament like this, he's not a guy who's a great birdie maker. He kind of plods his way around. Last week was the perfect setup for him. Winning score right around 10 under, like we had predicted. That's not a guy that I'm on. If he's top three ownership in the 7K range, that's a full fade for me. Don't mind his game. Aaron, two gloves. You ever seen him with those two black gloves that he wears?
Yeah.
He's pretty goofy. I was watching with the Rocket Mortgage last year. It's a sight to see for sure. But not a guy that I'm on. I like guys with a little more upside. And Cole is someone he's flashed that upside before. It's been a rough start to the year, but his approach game is trending. He usually struggles off the tee, but if he can just kind of hold it together off the tee, I don't mind that play. Not my favorite down here, but as an ownership kind of leverage play, yeah, I don't mind it.
What about our friend Christian at 7,900? I've got him at the highest top 10 finish percent chance in that range.
Yeah, and with good reason. He's been playing some really, really solid golf. He's looking like the highest owned player in this range at 79. And I wouldn't have blinked if he was in the mid eights with the way he's been playing. T13 at the Players, followed it up with a T9 at the Valspar, gaining strokes all the way across the board, sort of average off the tee, but approach game good, around the green game good. I'm going to bank on him having a rough putting week this week and getting off to a bad start off the tee where he's having a hard time hitting these greens. So just because of ownership, and the fact that I see similar upside in some other guys here, I am fading Bizidenhout, even though it's pretty hard to swallow. Like, he's been playing some really, really good golf. What about your boy Bo here? We talk about him almost every week.
We have talked about him, but the last two times I played him, he let me down. He let me down. He's very neutral in my stats and model here. He just kind of is blah in that price range and ownership range.
Yeah, I think your most comfy guy here, you already named, Lucas Glover, being down towards the bottom of that range. Tee to green, he's always going to be solid. If his putter is just decent, you know, he's going to make the cut. He's probably going to top 40. You've got some guys with higher upside. The guy that I like a lot is down towards the bottom of this range is Victor Perez. Quietly, he's been playing some really consistent golf. So his approach game has really been trending. The thing that's been nice to see is his off the tee game. He's gained strokes in six straight events. And that's normally been kind of his bugaboo, if you will, or his Achilles. And he's been gaining week after week. Two of the last three, he's gained over half a stroke around the greens. That makes me feel comfortable. And his putting has been decent to a little bit above average. So Victor Perez is 7,100. I think he really gives you top 10 upside in this field. And
I'll have to trust your breakdown of that, because the model, not a fan of Victor Perez. They've got like half the 6K guys ahead of him.
I know, I noticed that with the DraftKings, with the odds too of top 20s, but I'm still staying on him. His play has just been really, really solid. I feel comfortable with him being a cup maker. And I also like your boy EVR with the stat that cannot be outdone.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'm back on the, he's off of the dead to me list. I'll tell you that.
Okay. That's good. That's progress. I'm glad you're finding it in your heart to forgive, but he's a guy that I see similar upside, if not a little better than Victor Perez. Trends have been good. He's taken a couple weeks off since missing the cut at the Players. That's fine by me. You know, if he misses the cut there, it gets some people off of him. It was an aberration, much like Henley and Homa. These guys struggled a bit there.
Well, his leverage score is pretty good. You know, I don't know that I'll click it, but I'm considering it. And that is personal growth for me. Personal growth, Adam.
It is. I'm proud of you. You've had personal growth. You've had mustache growth. It's been a big...
I did.
Last few weeks for you.
I did. But I tell you what, we'll use that to transition into the 6K range. And I bet you will not be shocked by my favorite 6K top end range guy this week in Kwang Hoon Lee.
Yeah, KH Lee is another guy he's pretty solid across the board. Like, nothing he does is going to make you super, super excited. He's pretty consistent off the tee, usually about average on approach, but... Yeah, I'm not.
I've got his scoring like right in the middle of all the 7K range guys, and I've got him at sub 5% ownership right now.
Yeah, that's, and down here in the 6K range, it's so spread out because you have so many options. You know, you're seeing a lot of guys down there in that 5% range, but can't hate on you for that. Now, the guy that I came around on, we talked about how Spieth was third in the top 20% or top 20 odds, even though he's like the seventh highest priced guy. Another guy that I found kind of up amongst some 8K range and even mid 7K range guys is starting to trend a little bit. He's got the kind of game for this. If he putts even reasonably well, I really like Davis Thompson, not Davis Riley, who I think a lot of people are going to be on with a good finish last week. But Davis Thompson is a guy who's really trending for me. He'll be in a lot of my lineups this week at 6,700. Had a good finish, kind of backdoor to top 20, but really, really like Davis Thompson there. Who else do you like as we go down towards the middle of the 6Ks?
Well, you know, I've got a little tiny bit of love here for Mr. Olesen. We talked about him earlier this year. Got a little bit of love for Hisatsune.
Yeah, I like Rio.
Got a little bit of love there. I don't like this category a whole lot. I feel like I'm probably going to fall into the Bud Cali trap again.
Yeah, I don't think it's a trap either. He's been very good tee to green for the most part since he came back. Gained on approach in 3 out of 4, and those are usually up around a stroke relative to the field. Off the tee, he's been okay, slightly above average. But, man, I can't fault you for liking Bud a little bit there. I wouldn't expect him, or I'd be surprised if he finished like top 20. But cut maker, I'd be surprised if he missed the cut as well. So if you need someone to just sort of get you through and keep getting you points on the weekend, okay. A couple guys we have to mention here. Charlie Hoffman has phenomenal course history. We saw him pop at Waste Management. Great ball.
Yeah, how's his history since he lost all of his hair, though? Because that was his superpower.
I know, man. I still love him in his 40s, though. He's still out there getting after it. Like, almost won against Nick Taylor. Lost in that playoff this year at the Wasted Management. But similar guy to Hoffman, like not or to Coco, like not a great putter, but a guy who, when he's on tee to green, he's going to create opportunity after opportunity. And that's kind of what you look for, to have that upside out of a $6,400 guy. It looks like people are getting on because of that course history, but he's got to be mentioned at least. Couple other guys down here, like Max Graceman is another guy that I love in this range. Duke Prada kind of had a rough start to the beginning of this season. Didn't play the fall swing because he made it through after the Korn Ferry Tour Championship. So started off cut, T56, cut, withdraw. Since then, the Cognizant in Florida, T47. T15 in Puerto Rico, there's no stats there, but I'm guessing it was pretty good if he finished T15. T33 at the Valspar. And then last week, even though he lost on approach, which he hadn't done all year, still finished T7. That's a guy that I like a lot, showing some great trends. I don't think DraftKings has caught up to how good his play has been. And 6,500 seems like an absolute steal for him right there.
And the last one I'll mention, number one in my leverage value meter, Sungyoung Kim. Yet another guy popping in my model.
Can't fault you for SH Kim. I'm not going to try and pronounce his name.
It's fine. I'll figure it out one of these days.
There's a couple other guys I think we got to mention down here that are going to garner some ownership. Andrew Novak, for sure. Didn't have a great finish last week, but had a pretty solid Sunday to kind of save the guys who had rostered him, or the people who would roster him. Sorry to the ladies. His trends look okay. Like, approach game is really where he gets it most weeks. If he's going to contend, it's through approach. So if he has a good, like a decent off the tee week and his approach game comes back around, he's a guy that will garner some ownership. I'm not personally on him, but he's worth mentioning. Ryan Moore also has great course history here, so you're going to see a lot of ownership on him as well. I love Graceman as a pivot off of those two right in that same range. And then down below that, you had Alejandro Tosti last week who, man, he was fun to watch. I know you're on vacation, but this dude is fiery. He was getting after it. He pissed Finau off when they played together. I think it was Friday. They couldn't decide who was away on a putt, but he is fiery. Argentinian. He brings some energy to the tour that I think we're missing. Like, the Sergio, the P. Reed type energy, where he kind of creates the controversy and then thrives in it. I love his personality. He's a guy that I was kind of looking at earlier in the year. He was trending a little bit on some stat categories I liked, but he popped last week. I'm not saying he's going to duplicate that. I wouldn't expect him to, because it was sort of out of nowhere. By far his best performance, but I hope for entertainment's sake, he continues to play well, because that was fun to watch.
I like it. Well, I have exactly one person that I am into if we're going to dip into the 5K range, and it is only one, and I know he's hurt you once this year. Dylan Wu, he's the guy. If I'm dipping into the 5K, that's it. It's the only guy for me down below six.
Yeah, both of the Woos have hurt me. I'm sure they'll hurt me again at some point, because I always want to get on them. They had a nice consistent stretch over the summer last year. Before we dip down, though, got to mention the great Nate Lashley at 62, and then Grayson Sigg, I think, as a cut maker there for you at 6K. I'm not on Wu this week myself. He has definitely hurt me in the past, but not jumping back on this week. I'm not saying I'm going to play him.
I don't want to dip. I don't ever want to dip into the 5K. Let's be clear. I'm a one lineup guy this year. I'm only playing one. And I'm just not trying to do it.
So I think if you don't need to this week, unless you're starting Rory. If you start Rory, I think you almost have to go down here to get four viable players in your lineup. But don't forget, the last two PGA Tour winners, Peter Malnati and Alejandro Tosti, were priced in the 5K range.
That's true.
So it's kind of hard to get away from that when we've just seen two of those guys win the last 2 weeks. I think we just got to go dive in here. Like, cut maker, I'm going Lanto Griffin, 5,400. We haven't talked about him in a while. But he's a veteran. He's gonna grind it out to make the cut if he's right in there. Stat categories, pretty decent across the board. He's popping as one of my best values down here too. So I do like Lonto. Your boy Matthew Neesmith is another one who's worth mentioning. I would not be surprised at all to see him make the cut. Short game tends to be pretty darn good. Approach game has flashed here and there. Ooh, good beat.
May I make an addition there, sir?
Sure.
I thought that S.H. Kim was the number one leverage play. Well, I didn't scroll far enough down. It's actually Matthew Naismith in the model. That's the number one leverage play.
See? There we go. I've got Lonto and Naismith as my two favorite guys down in this 5K range. I'll mention Mac Meissner. He's been showing some decent trends here recently. Approach game, short game, putting, like, that's what you're hanging your hat on. Off the tee, it's been not great, but he could have a decent week and get you through the cut.
So almost at the very bottom, my last kind of leverage spike play. Tell me something about Harrison Endicott.
I think it's Endicott, is it not? Endicott. No, it is Cott. You're right. Mm-hmm. I followed him a little bit last year. I don't think he looks particularly good in any stat category. So not a guy that I'm looking at. What's got you on him?
Nothing. Maybe. Just the model. You know me. I'm a slave to the model, my friend. When I try to get overcomplicated, I lose. I decided one lineup, model-based, this year. And if I had a tiebreaker, I'd go with your suggestion in the tiebreaker. And it has been working. 13 weeks we've done our private little contest, and I've got 3 wins and 2 second places, and I feel like that's pretty good.
The lesson that I've learned through doing this with you each week and having the contest is I need to listen to myself more. I give great advice on the show, and then I don't take it half the time. And that's
I'm always a little shocked when I see the lineup revealed, when I see, see what you play after all this.
Right, and like always, almost every week, the value plays have absolutely smashed, and they've been in my lineup rarely. I need to trust my instincts, trust what I say in the show, so I'm not like making you and the listeners kick some ass, and I'm not getting the same benefits. But no, he relies too much on his putting. It's not a guy that I would be on.
So. All right, buddy. Well, I have about 2 minutes to get out of here. So, do you have any bets that you looked at that you like this week?
Yeah, absolutely. So, a couple guys that I like, I think it's definitely worth throwing a top 10 on Charlie Hoffman. Let me look at his odds here. So he's 10-1 for a top 10. Not phenomenal, but certainly worth taking a look at. The other guy that I like, I wanted to throw a top 10 on Harris English, who we didn't really talk about a lot, but he's been playing some very, very consistent golf. He is at 3.5-1 for a top 10. So his odds are actually looking pretty strong relative to his DK pricing, which makes me think he might actually be a decent play there. As far as a long shot to win, let me give you one long shot to win. You know what? Screw the model's danger. I'm going to go Victor Perez. He's at 110-1. Let's see if the trend continues of these lower priced, super long shot odds. I would throw him in there. And then you got Nate Lashley there at 130-1 or 10-1 for a top 10. So those are my guys this week.
I like it. All right, let's give the people what they want. We're going to go to the top. I'm going to let you take the lead. What's your favorite?
Oh, you know it's Oberg. It's Oberg up top. It has to be. I think he's better than – this is a strong statement. But if you ask me to take a player for the next 3 years, the next 5 years – even the rest of this season, I'm taking Oberg over Rory.
I can dig that. I am going to stay true to my word. I'm going to skip the 10K range, and I'm going to start my lineup with Jordan Spieth this week.
Can't hate it.
All right, mid-range. I'm going to steal your thunder. I'm going to do it anyways. Russell Henley is my guy.
That's fine. We got plenty of other options here. So if we're staying mid-range, goes from the 8Ks up into the 9s. A guy that I definitely started coming around on. I'm going to go with Billy Ho at 89. I think the price is going to get people a little bit off of him, and I will take it at a little lower ownership.
All right, and for my standard low-value play, I'm going to go KH Lee. You knew it. I knew it. There was no point in letting you go first because you knew where I was going.
I am going to go with the gentleman I mentioned at 6,500, Max Gracerman. Duke product, really been trending the last few weeks. Good pedigree.
I don't know. I think that he's going to be heartbroken on the Blue Devils getting beat by NC State. And I don't know if he's got it in him this week. Just saying.
Did that happen before his round on Sunday, though?
Yeah, I think so. I think that really messed with his head.
We had a great Sunday on the course after that happened, so I don't think that really holds much. He doesn't strike me as the big hoops fan. I don't know.
And then my tipsy pick of the week, my friend, I'm going to stick right with the theme here, and I'm going SH Kim.
All right, sticking with it. Yeah, I'm going to go with the old vet here. We need a cup maker. We need a guy who's going to grind it out, make a few putts, and I love his name, Lonto Griffin.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. Like I said, everybody, please check out the site, drrota.com, where you will get Adam's full breakdown of his favorite players behind the paywall. So make sure you join today. All kinds of great NCAA basketball stuff going on there. We've got some previews of the NFL. As always, we have our friend Kickman and Brewery Mark putting out some of the best NHL knowledge in the industry. It's a great webpage, totally affordable. Please go check us out. For Adam White, I am Johnny Danger, and we'll see you next week to preview the Masters.
Ooh, can't wait.
Ooh, baby.
Thanks for stopping by the office. Get your fantasy prescription by subscribing to the channel and checking out drrodo.com. And until the next visit, be well and take care.